Shalom to all. Today's office of Zara Daf Yud Gimel, and we are starting Yud Beis Amud Beis near the bottom with a brand new Mishnah. And today's office sponsor Lili Nishmas Mars Merim Sar Bas Biakav Moshe Hernish Amash Should Have an Aliyah. And we continue discussing doing business with Avdei Avod Zara on the day of their holiday on their festival. So the Mishnah says Ir Sheyesh Beavos Kavim, a city that has this festival, there's a holiday for their idol. Vahayu Bachanuyas Mutares V'Shein Mutares, and there's stores in the city. Some of them are decorated, some of them aren't. What do we do? So Zahayu Ma'aseh Beis Shan. This is a story in a place called Beis Shan, which is actually in the north of Eretz Yisrael. V'Amru Chum L'Chum said Hamut. If the store is decorated, so it's also to do business with them, but if they're not decorated, then it's mut to do business with them. That's because the decorated stores give a portion of their profits as a tax to the Avodah Zarah, whereas the non-decorated stores don't have anything to do with Avodah Zarah, so there's no problem. Now, the obvious question over here that needs to be answered is how does this not contradict the first Mishnah, which seemed to assur all business done with non-Jews on their holiday, regardless if the store was decorated? And the answer is that the main issur is to sell them something, such as an animal, but buying from them is different, and therefore it depends what the item is and what the store is, and in certain situations it is permitted, as we see from this Mishnah. Another where it tells us in Rishon Lakish, Rishon Lakish explains, Lo Yishanu, this is only taught, El Mu'utars Bevered V'Hadas. If the store was decorated with rose and hadasim, then it's also to buy from them. Why is that? To come as Hani Meirecha, because the buyer, the Yid, is benefiting from the aroma of the rose and the hadas, and these were previously spread out in front of the Avodah Zarah, and they're called to Krivus Avodah Zarah. It's like an offering for the Avodah Zarah, and he's benefiting from that, which is Asar, Aval Mu'utars Bepeirois. But if the store is decorated just with fruit, Mu'utars, then it is permitted to buy from them. My time, why is that? Domakrokos Basak says, Lo yidbak b'yadchem u'um min acherem. Nothing from acherem, referring to that which is banned, talking about Avodah Zarah, is not allowed to cling to you, meaning you're not allowed to benefit from it. What do we learn from here? Nenehu da asr. It's only when the yid is benefiting from Avodah Zarah, then it's asr. You'd give him a lot of alpha on top, avol mahane, shari. But if he's giving benefit to the non-Jew, then it's permitted, obviously in certain circumstances. Not everything is permitted to buy from the non-Jew, as we just explained in the Mishnah, but there are certain things that are permitted to buy from him. So we see from Rish Lakish that the main issue is that the yid is benefiting from the non-Jew. He's going to go in and smell these wonderful roses and this hadas that was for the Avodah Zarah, that's benefiting from Avodah Zarah, but peiros, fruits, are not used in the service of Avodah Zarah, so then it's no problem, even if the store is decorated with fruits. However, Rabbi Yochanan says, Afil mutars peiros nami asr, even if the store is just decorated with fruits, it's still asr to buy from them. Why is that? Kavachimer, because nena asr, mahana lekal shekain, if it's asr to benefit from them, it's for sure asr to give them benefit, even though when the yid buys from the non-Jew in a store that's decorated with peiros, he's not benefiting, but he's giving them benefit, and that's because Rashi explains a little bit more than we explained in the Mishnah, that the stores are actually owned by the priests of Avodah Zarah, and the storekeeper, the Chenveni, he's just hired by the priests of Avodah Zarah, and therefore a lot of the profits are actually going to Avodah Zarah. That's Rabbi Yechon Aser. So I think Mar says, Mesu, we have a question on Rish Lakish. The Brisa tells us, Rabbi Nosson says, Yom Shavuos Chavim Menechas Bais HaMechas, the day that idol worshippers will take away the tax. Machrizim V'Aymrim, they announce and they say as follows, Kol Mi Shanai Ta'atar V'Yenech Barisha Barish Chamari L'Chvay Rabbi Yitzchak Chavim, anyone who takes an atara, which is like a wreath of good smelling branches and herbs, and they place it on their head and on the head of their donkey in honor of Avodah Zarah, Yenichu Es HaMechas, so then the tax is forgiven for him, he doesn't have to pay it. Vimlav, but if he doesn't do this, Al Yenichu Es HaMechas, so don't forgive the tax for him, he has to pay it. And the question is asked the Braisa, Yehudi Shinim Tzasham Mayase, a yid that's there, what's he supposed to do? Yeniach, should he take this wreath of good smelling things and put it on his head and donkey's head? Nimsa Nene, turns out he's benefiting because it's good smell. Lo Yeniach, should he not put it on? Nimsa Mahane, turns out he's giving them benefit by paying them. Mikan over from here, they said, says the Brisa, somebody does business in the marketplace of Avodah Kachavim, Behema, if he did business with an animal, meaning he bought an animal, Te'aker, it should be uprooted, as we're going to see soon what this means. We also mentioned it briefly previously, Peres Kususukalim, if he bought produce, clothing, or other items, your cover, they have to be left to rot and decompose. Mice, if it's money, clean matchas, or metal things that don't decompose, he has to bring them to Yama Melech and throw them in, and they get ruined over there. Now the Brisa further clarifies, Vezu Iker, what is this Iker of an animal? That's uprooting or removing its hoof from the arkuva and below. This is basically from the knee of the animal and below. It maims the animal, makes it into bal mum, and you can't use it. And that's a penalty, the knas, that we impose upon the yid from buying this animal from Avodah Zarah. Now, Ketanimias, at any rate, what do we learn at the beginning of this braisa? Yaniach, that if he puts the wreath on his head, nimsenene, turns out he's benefiting. Lo yaniach, if he doesn't put it on his head and then he has to pay the tax, nimsenahane, turns out that he's giving them benefit by paying them. And that's clearly like Rabbi Yechanan, not like Rish Lakish, because Rish Lakish said, being mahane the Avodah Zarah is not a problem. So Rav Shashi, Braid Rav Idi, he answers that Kasam Rish Lakish pligi Rabbanon alei Rav Nasan. Rish Lakish holds that the Rabbanon argue with Rav Nasan, vanada amik Rabbanon de pligi alei, and I hold like the Rabbanon who argue with Rav Nasan. Rav Yechon sover lei pligi, and it seems to be the Rav Yechon holds that the Rabbanon don't argue with Rav Nasan, and that's the machlokes over here. Asking more of lei pligi, the Rabbanon don't argue with Rav Nasan. Vatanya, we have a brass that tells us beferosh, holchanli rachel avdik chavim, a person go to the fair of idol worshippers, veloichan mehem behem avadim shvachiz, and could buy an animal, avadim, and maidservants from them, batim misad sukramim, Shalomim, homes, fields, and vineyards, and v'koisev u'malabar kois shalahen, they can even write this down nishtar and bring it into their kois, which basically is their court systems. Why is that? M'neshu k'matzal miyadam, because like he's saving it from their hands. If it's not recorded in their official system, so then the yid is not going to have a proper title to the property, and so it's basically a waste of his time and money if he doesn't do this. That's why he's allowed to go to their kois, even though usually yid is not allowed to go to their kois of non-Jews. Evim hayu kayin, if this yid is a kayin, metamim b'chutz la'aretz ladun l'arimayim, he's even allowed to become tamei by going to chutz la'aretz to go to judgment or a court case or deal with them. The reason why we're saying chutz la'aretz is because we know there's something called tumas eretz ha'amin that outside eretz Yisrael has a status derabbanan of tumas meis. That's because we don't know where the non-Jews bury their dead, so it's assumed that anywhere you walk in chutz la'aretz might be walking over a kever. It's just a tumas derabbanan, but nonetheless, a kayin is allowed to go to their courts outside eretz Yisrael in order to go to a court case which is relevant for him. And gushem shematam b'chutz la'aretz, the same way he can become tamei by going to chutz la'aretz, kach matam beis hakvaros, he could even become tamei by going to beis hakvaros if it's necessary for him. And the Gemara just pauses the brayse and asks for a second. But beis hakvaros salka daitoch, you really think that a kayin is allowed to go to beis hakvaros and become tamei over there if it's some sort of financial matter? Tumah d'oraisa he, that's a tumah d'oraisa. We never allow a kayin to become tamei d'oraisa for anything. And the answer is you're right. Elo beis hapras d'rabbanan, we're talking about a beis hapras which is only tumah d'rabbanan. A beis hapras is an area that used to have a kever and then it was plowed over and the kever is totally lost. We have no idea where it is. It's somewhere in this area, but we don't know where. And there's just a tumah d'rabbanan, and so we say the kayin's allowed to go into this area in order to do some sort of business, to go to court or whatever it is, to take care of his money issues with the non-Jews. And also continues the brayso, he could become tamei to learn Torah and to marry a woman. He could either go through beis hapras or go to chutz la'aretz if he's going to be learning Torah there or getting married. And Rabbi Huda says, Amasai, when is this? Bizman she'ein mitzel lilmaid, that's only if he doesn't find any other place to learn in Eretz Yisrael. Alvazman she'ein lilmaid, if he has a place that he could learn in Eretz Yisrael, einim tamei, then he cannot become tamei by going to chutz la'aretz, for example, to learn the yeshiva over there. Whereas Rabbi Yossi says that no, afilu bizman she'ein lilmaid, even if he is able to learn over here in Eretz Yisrael, yetamei, he still could become tamei by going to chutz la'aretz, lafi she'ein adam zoich alone, and recall, because a person is not necessarily zoich, he doesn't merit to learn from everybody. Just because there's technically yeshiva to learn in Eretz Yisrael, that doesn't mean that he has to be there. It could be that if he finds a rebbe or yeshiva in chutz la'aretz, that he's going to learn even better from him, so he should go there. And our Rabbi Yossi says, Ma'is b'Yosef HaKayin, there's a story with Yosef HaKayin, Shahalach acha rabbi l'tzidon l'moy Torah, that he went after his rebbe to Tzidon to learn Torah. The bottom line that we see from the beginning of the Braisa is that the Chachamim, who are the Manda Amar of this Braisa, hold that you are allowed to buy an animal from non-Jews at their fair. Clearly, they do argue with Rabbi Nasan. How could Rabbi Yechanan say that? And don't tell me that Rabbi Yechanan didn't know about this Braisa, because Amar Rabbi Yechanan, Rabbi Yechanan himself said, Halacha Rabbi Yossi, the Halacha Zok Rabbi Yossi, in this particular situation, that a Kayin is allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael if he found a good rebbe for him outside Eretz Yisrael. So Alma Pligi, we clearly see that the Chachamim argue with Rabbi Nasan, and the answer is that Amar Rabbi Yechanan, Rabbi Yechanan would tell you, La'olam lai pligi. The Chachamim really do not argue with Rabbi Nasan. V'lay kashin, there's no steer between the brayos. Kan v'lekech man atagar d'shakli michsamine. In the first brayso, it's referring to buying from a merchant who takes a tax from him, as we explained before, that the merchants were really the representatives of the kaimarim, of the priests of the avodah zarah, and therefore, when a yid buys from this merchant, from this tagar, from this businessman, some tax is being paid to avodah zarah, and that everyone agrees is usher, even the Chachamim. Kan, whereas in the second brayso, v'lekech min b'al habayis, that's where a person is buying from a private homeowner. Kind of like when you go to the flea market, everyone brings their own stuff to sell. They're not merchants selling for other people. They're selling for themselves. Then a tax is not taken from him, and in that situation, it's permitted to buy animals from them. So there's no stira. And then we discussed a few things we mentioned. Amar Meir just stated in the previous brayso, on the first one, behema ta'akar, that if an animal is brought from a non-Jew on the holiday of his avodah zarah, ta'akar, it has to be uprooted, which again, we had said, meant cutting the tendon from below the knee. And the question is, va'ikat tsar ba'al chayim? What about tsar ba'al chayim? You're causing pain to the animal. So Rabbi, he answers, no. Amar Achman, the Torah tells us, as the same to Aker, this referring to Yeshua when he went to wage battle with the Canaanim. Hashem told him, when you win the battle, take all their horses and be ma'aker them, cut their tendons, maim them, put this mum on them, and that's in order to show power over the Avdei Avodah Zarah or to kenas a yid who bought from them, so then it's permitted. You're right. In a standard situation, just stam to do this to an animal is not permitted, but specifically when we're talking about Avodah Zarah, it is permitted. And we continue discussing, our Meir was also stated, Vezu Iker, what is this Iker? Menash bar Semin or Kuvu Lamato, that's cutting by its hooves from their Kuvu and below. The question is, how could you say that? For many, we have a different price that tells us that a person cannot make something hektish or be machrim or marich something nowadays. Machrim is obviously dedicating something to the Beis HaMikdash, and machrim and marich is very similar. Machrim is to make a cheirem. That's when he takes an item and he says, harezu cheirem. Right now, we're assuming that means it automatically is going to the Beis HaMikdash, and marichin is also very similar. That's where he says, erech zu alai. That's another way of dedicating something to the Beis HaMikdash. So we can't do that nowadays because we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. And if he did one of these things, behema, if he did it to an animal to ha'aker. We have to be ma'aker it. Pairs ksus v'kelim. Evi did it to produce, clothing, or items. Yud gimel beis on top. Your kavod have to be left to rot and decompose. Mois u'kli matchos. If it was money or metal kelim, yilech miyam melech. He brings them to yam melech. And ve'ezuhu iker. What is this iker that we're talking about? Noil dals b'funav yimeisum eleha. He puts it in a room, closes the door, and it dies on its own because it doesn't have any food. So we see that that's what iker is. Not cutting its tendon below the knee. So Rabbi, he answers shani hasam. That case of hektish is different. Mishum bizayin kachim because of the bizayin and the degradation, the disgrace of kachim. If we have kachim walking around with his mum, it's a disgrace. That's an embarrassment, if you will, to kachim, and that's how we just have it die, so we don't have this disgrace to kachim. As more of nishchle mishchat, why not shecht it and then it's dead, and then we don't have the disgrace. The answer is also de tekala, because then we might run into a mishap. That since he shechted the animal, he might end up eating it, and it's aser. As more fine, so the shavu gistra. Why not make it gistra, which basically means to cut it in half, and then he's not going to end up eating it, but at least it's dead, and it's not designed to hektish. So Rabbi, he answers, no, we can't do that because Amar Kar, the pasuk says, when he tats them as bizbechaisam v'gaimer, you shall smash their altars. That's talking about avodah zarah. And the pasuk continues, loy sasun ken l'shem l'keichem, don't do this to Hashem your God. So we see that when it comes to avodah zarah, we smash and break and destroy and ruin, and we're not allowed to do that to hektish. And by cutting the animal in half, that's considered destroying the hektish, and that's why we can't do this to this hektish animal. Now we have a different answer. Why specifically when we're dealing with an animal of hektish, we just put it in a room, lock it up, and it dies, and we don't do what the braisa on Amar Aleph said Ikor is. And that's Rava Amar Rava explains, because it looks like he's putting a mum on kachim. Here we have an animal which is kachim, and when he does ikur to it, it looks like he's putting a mum on it. As a Gemara, Nira, it looks like he's putting a mum on it. Mum ma'alyahu, this is a 100% mum. Being ma'akir, cutting its tendon, that's a 100% mum. So we answer no. That's only considered a real mum when the Beis HaMikdash is here, the Chazil HaKrava, because technically the animal could be brought as a karbon, so you do this to it, it's called a mum. But Hashal Chazil HaKrava, now that the animal can't be brought in the Beis HaMikdash because we don't have it, less than ba, so there's no issue. It's not considered a real mum, it's just nira. Ask the Gemara, have a kamato mum bebal mum. Why don't we consider it like making a mum on an animal which is already a bal mum? Even though the animal which is already a bal mum can't be brought for a karbon, usher, it's still usher to put another mum on it, and so we should still consider it as putting a 100% mum on this animal which is already a bal mum. The Gemara says, no, bal mum, when we have an animal which was dedicated to the Beis HaMikdash that was a bal mum, there's an isser to put another mum on it, even though you're right, this animal itself can't be brought as a carbon, still dami chazi, its value still could be used for the Beis HaMikdash. Again, they're talking about when we have a Beis HaMikdash, and that's why, even though the animal is already bal mum, you can't put another mum on it. Lafuke hacha, that excludes over here, delayla dami chazi, it's not fit for its value because we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, v'loy gufei chazi, it's not fit for it itself, it can't be a carbon either, obviously, because again, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, and that's why Rava used this lashon of, it looks like it's putting a mum on kachim, but it's not considered a 100% isser of putting the mum on kachim, because again, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash and it can't be used at all. We continue discussing this. The Gemara says, Ashkei Rabbi Yonah Rabbi Lai Dekaya Pischa De Tzur. Rabbi Yonah encountered Rabbi Lai, who's right at the entrance of Tzur, and we actually had mentioned previously that Tzur was a city that both Yidden and Goyim lived in, and normally he asked Rabbi Lai as follows, Ketani Behema Te'aker. We learned in the Brass on Amun Aleph that if a Yid bought an animal from a guy, we have to be Ma'aker the animal. Eved Mai. But what about a slave? Let's say a Yid bought a slave from a non-Jew. What's a din? Do we have to be Ma'aker the slave and put a mum on him to knas the Yid? And he clarifies the question, Eved Yisrael Lekhem Bailey. I'm not asking you about buying a Jewish slave from the non-Jew. That's because when a Yid buys another Yid as an Eved, in the circumstances where it's possible, he doesn't own the actual Yid. He doesn't own the person. He bought his service, but he didn't buy the person, so obviously we're not going to put a mum on the Yid. Kikam Bailey, what's my question? Eved Avikachavim. When he buys a non-Jewish slave, then he buys the person. He actually owns him. He's considered his property. My, what's the din? Do we canast the Yid by making him put a mum on this Eved that he bought, or no? So Amalei Rulai responded to him, my God, what's your question? Tanya, if a Brass says, Beferosh, Avikachavim Varei Behem Adaka, an idol worshiper and shepherds of small animals, loy malin v'loy meriden, we don't take them out of a bar if they fell inside, even if they're going to die, but we do not put them inside a bar, which basically means that if their life is in danger, we're not going to save them, but we're not going to outright kill them. And if we see from here that we're not going to put this mum on the Eved that was purchased by the Yid, because it's very possible that he's going to die, I want to do things like that to Avdik Chavim. And we continue with this, Amalei Rav Yirmi L'Rav Zeira, Rav Yirmi told Rav Zeira, Ketani, we learned in the second Brisa on Amud Aleph, that loychan mehen behema avadim shvachos, they were allowed to buy animals avadim shvachos from non-Jews. And the question is, Eved Yisrael, Oidoma afilu Eved Avik Chavim. Does this mean that a Yid's allowed to buy a Jewish slave from a non-Jew, or even a non-Jewish slave from a non-Jew? So Amalei responded, Mistabra Eved Yisrael, it's logical to say that it's only a Jewish slave that's allowed to be purchased from a non-Jew. And that's because right now we're understanding the reason why you're allowed to buy him is due to the fact that you're taking the Yid away from the non-Jew. Now he's able to do mitzvahs properly, because when he's by the non-Jew, he can't. And so you're doing a mitzvah with that. The Eved Avik Chavim, because if you want to say that you're allowed to even buy a non-Jewish slave from the non-Jew, L'mayi Bayle, what's the purpose of buying him? He's a non-Jew that was buying non-Jew. What's the gain of bringing bringing him to you, there's not really anything, so it must be that you're not allowed to buy a non-Jewish slave from the non-Jew. However, Kiyasar Ravin, where Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael, Amar Shem Elokish, Zayin Erish Lakesh, Afilu Evet Oy Kachavim, that you're even allowed to buy a non-Jew slave from the non-Jew. Why is that? Mnesh Machnis Etachas Kanfei Shechina, because you bring him under the protection of the Shechina. We know that a non-Jewish slave, for all intents and purposes, becomes Chayv in Mitzvahs like a woman and gets a bris mila, so actually he is now Chayv in Mitzvahs, and so it's a good thing. So now Amar Vashi Vashi asks, Atu Behema, my Machnis Tachas Kanfei Shechina Eka, but what about buying an animal from the non-Jew? What type of bring it under the Shechina are you doing? That's just going from the Geizer Shas to the Yizra Shas. What's the gain over there? And the answer is Ella, must be because Mishum Me'utaihu. Really, the proper Gersa is Mishum Me'utinhu. It's because you're diminishing, you're taking away from the non-Jew. Every important article that you can take from the non-Jew and put in a Jew's Rishos is good because it minimizes the power and the strength and the prestige of the non-Jew. And that's where you're allowed to even buy an animal from him. Bahinam is the same thing with the Eved, the Mati. Since you're simply taking away, you're diminishing the possessions of the non-Jew, Shari, it's permitted and has nothing to do with mitzvahs. Now we continue discussing buying things from non-Jews. Rabbi Yaakov Zavan Sandalot, on the day of this fair, this market day, which again was a holiday for the Avodah Zarah, he bought a pair of sandals, and Rabbi Yirmiyahu Zavan Pita, Rabbi Yirmiyahu bought bread, and Amar Lechad Lechavri, one of them told the other, Yasma, which literally means orphan, Avod Rabba Chachi, did your Rebbe do this? And obviously he wasn't an orphan. Yasma over here means Balai Das, you don't have anyone to rely on. Why'd you do this? How could you buy from Avodah Zarah on their holiday? And Amar Leyedich, the other one's response was the same exact thing. Yasma, Avod Rabba Chachi, they basically were both calling out each other, how could you buy from the market of the Avodah Zarah? And the answer for both of them is, Uchavanyu Balbai Zavun, both of them had actually bought from private people. They didn't buy from stores, like we explained that Amud Aleph is Asur, because then the merchant has to pay the Kamarim, the priest, a tax for the Avodah Zarah, but you are allowed to buy from private homeowners. And V'chol Chad V'chad, Sabar Chavroi Mitagar Zavan. Each one thought that the other one bought from the merchant, from the store, and not from a private homeowner. And how do we know this is okay? Darav Ara Reidur Chiyabar Abba, Loi Shanu, this is only taught, Elba Kechman Atagar, only if a person is buying from a merchant. Why is that a problem? The Shakli Mechsamine, because he takes a tax from him. Avaloi Kechman Baal Bias, but buying from a Baal Bias, the Loi Shakim Vinei Mechsa, that he doesn't take a tax from him, Mota then is permitted. And Amr of Abba Breid Rav Chiyu Bar Abba, Imbalai Hai Rabbi Yechanan Hazimna, if Rabbi Yechanan lived at this time, Ba'asu de Kashakli Mechsa Afilim Baal Bias, in a place where they take taxes, even from a Baal Bias that sells, have Asar, he would Asar it. The only reason why he permits buying from a Baal Bias on the holiday is because we said the Baal Bias doesn't pay tax to the Avodah Zarah. But if the Baal Bias did, Rabbi Yechanan would Asar even that. So now the question is, Ela Inhu, Hechi Zavun, them, how did they buy? They were living in a place where even the Baal Batim had to pay the tax to Avodah Zarah, so how were they able to purchase from the Baal Bias? And the answer is, Baal Bias, She'enu Kavua Zavun, they bought from a Baal Bias, which is not Kavua. Basically, if you imagine, it's some sort of flea market where you have multiple stalls set up. You have the regular merchants, which are the hired hands, the agents of the Kamarim, of the priest of Avodah Zarah. There, you're definitely not allowed to buy from. Then you have the people that have the stalls set up there every single week. They're Kavua. They also pay a tax to Avodah Zarah. And then you have the random people that come every once in a while and set up a booth, but they're not Kavua. That's whom you're allowed to buy from because they don't have to pay that tax. And that's who Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Yirmiyahu had purchased from. We're going to stop for the day and pick up tomorrow with another Mishnah. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.